This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A great day for the Republic today. The president has signed an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. Bravo. Outstanding. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Trump abolishing the Department of Education through an executive order is another power grab. How can you say it's a power grab when he's trying to dismantle an executive agency and then telling Congress that they need to do their job? How is that a power grab? He's actually literally giving up power and giving it back to the people in the states. Oh, the left, you're cute. Here's the president today talking about the reason why we have to do this. Ultimately, we'll take an act of Congress, and I believe that it will happen. The political will is there for this. But within his powers as president, he can do certain things, and that's what he did today. And this is really important. I mean, this is the Department of Education was started by Jimmy Carter. It was opposed by the teachers union. There is no place for it. We do not need it. We should not have it. We don't educate a single child with the Department of Education, and the 50 states can handle it, and they'll do a great job with it. You got to restore this back to the states, and this is exactly right. Here's President Trump from today, cut 30.
After 45 years, the United States spends more money on education by far than any other country, and spends likewise by far more money per pupil than any country, and it's not even close. But yet, we rank near the bottom of the list in terms of success. It's an amazing stat. Those are two stats you don't want. The most money spent per pupil, and you're at the bottom of the list. And that's where we are, like it or not, and we've been there for a long time. 70% of eighth graders are not proficient in either reading or in math. 70%. 40% of fourth graders lack even basic reading skills, can't read. Students in our public elementary and middle schools score worse in reading today than when the department opened, by a lot. In Baltimore, 40% of the high schools have zero students who can do basic mathematics. Not even the very simplest of mathematics. I said, give me your definition of basic. And they're talking about like adding a few numbers together. Despite these breathtaking failures, the department's discretionary budget has exploded by 600% in a very short period of time, and employs bureaucrats in buildings all over Washington, D.C. And as a former real estate person, I will tell you, I ride through the streets of Washington and it says Department of Education, Department of Education. I said, how do you fill those buildings? It's crazy what's happened over the years.
It is crazy, and it's grown. The bureaucracy has grown because that's what bureaucracies do. They grow. Now, a big part of what the Department of Education does is it deals with children with disabilities, Pell Grants, and Title I funding. Okay? And what the president said today is that all of those functions are going to be preserved, and they're going to be moved to other agencies and departments. And that is an important point because the left is going to freak out, obviously, and start talking about how children with disabilities are going to be hurt and they're going to be harmed and blah, blah, blah. And that's not true. And that's not the case. And this is very near and dear to my heart. So I want to make sure that obviously those protections are in place. But the question is, where do you do it? Does it have to be through the Department of Education? Cut 31.
But the department's useful functions, and such as, and they're in charge of them, Pell Grants, Title I funding, resources for children with disabilities and special needs will be preserved, fully preserved. They're all going to be so. If you look at the Pell Grants, supposed to be a very good program, Title I funding and resources for children with special disabilities and special needs, they're going to be preserved in full and redistributed to various other agencies and departments that will take very good care of them. And that's very important to Linda, I know, and it's very important to all of us. But beyond these core necessities, my administration will take all lawful steps to shut down the department. We're going to shut it down and shut it down as quickly as possible. It's doing us no good. We want to return our students to the states where just some of the governors here are so happy about this. They want education to come back to them, to come back to the states, and they're going to do a phenomenal job.
Good. I mean, that's what a state should be in the business of doing, is overseeing the education of children, not necessarily educating them, but overseeing the business of that from the perspective of ensuring that kids get an education. Doesn't have to be at a state public school, though, however, which is why we got to get into the school choice aspect of this, too. But I'd like to see the state be able to take the money and then let it follow the kid so the kid can go to whatever school the kid wants to go to. That's what needs to happen. But we got a better chance of that happening without the Department of Education than with it. Okay, that's a key point right there. Cut 32, the president talking about returning education back to the states and why this will work and why it's necessary. Take a listen.
We're going to be returning education, very simply, back to the states where it belongs. And this is a very popular thing to do, but much more importantly, it's a common sense thing to do, and it's going to work. Absolutely, it's going to work. And I can tell you from dealing with the governors and others in the state, they want it so badly. They want to take their children back and really teach their children individually. Probably the cost will be half, and the education will be maybe many, many times better. So we look forward to this. We're going to.
Good. I mean, that great. Bravo. Wonderful. Why can't a state do it? It's 2025. What are we worried about? I mean, there's no reason why a state can't oversee the education business of children, but it should not be necessarily educating children either. There's many people that don't want to send their kids to a state school. There's many people that want to homeschool their children. There's many people that want to send their kids to a religious school, and they should have the right to do so. And not only that, they should have the resources to be able to do so, because we should ensure in this country that the money follows the kid, as I keep saying. And then that has to occur. It is also the civil rights issue of our time, because the kids who need this most, by the way, are kids who are in urban areas. Here's the president talking about teachers, cut 33.
I want to just make one little personal statement. Teachers, to me, are among the most important people in this country. And we're going to take care of our teachers. And I don't care if they're in the union or not in the union. That doesn't matter. But we're going to take care of our teachers. And I believe the states will take actually better care of them than they are taken care of right now. They'll work all sorts of systems and even merit systems. Those great teachers are going to be maybe a little bit better rewarded, or maybe that's the way it should be. But the states are going to make that decision. But we're going to love and cherish our teachers along with our children, and they're going to work with the parents, and they're going to work with everybody else. And it's going to be an amazing thing to watch, and it's really going to be something special. And
it will be special. And by the way, let this be a warning. The Attorney General Pam Bondi today announcing severe charges over the Tesla attacks. Severe charges against several individuals. She announced that the Justice Department is bringing severe charges against three individuals accused of targeting Teslas with arson attacks following the vow by the White House to treat these incidents as domestic terrorism. And they are, because remember, there's a difference. If somebody cuts you off on 95 and they're driving a Tesla and you throw a Molotov cocktail at them, that's bad. But what makes it domestic terrorism is if you're doing it for political purposes. Okay, I'm not condoning road rage with Molotov cocktails or road rage with anything. In fact, I don't think you should ever engage in road rage. Don't even give the finger anymore. People are freaking nuts out there. Don't even do it. It's not worth it. It's just not. There are too many crazy people. Everybody's fired up. Just don't do it. But if you're doing these things for political reasons, that is a whole other category. Because in order to preserve the republic, we can't allow political violence. It's the same thing with the swatting issue, as I mentioned. You know, if you call, you're trying to send the cops to your ex-wife's house to prove a point, to make her life miserable because you're a jaded ex-husband or ex-boyfriend or something like that. That's bad. Very, very bad. You should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. If you're doing it because you're trying to silence conservatives, then that's domestic terrorism because you're doing it for political purposes. The law has long recognized the distinction. The republic has to recognize the distinction as well. So I applaud the attorney general for treating it as such. The days of committing crime without consequence have ended, she said. Let this be a warning. If you join this wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, the Department of Justice will put you behind bars. Adam Matthew Lansky, 41, allegedly threw 8 Molotov cocktails at a Tesla dealership in Salem, Oregon, while armed with a suppressed AR-15 rifle. Oh, hey, the left. Are you going to start screaming about that or no? Huh? No? Not so much, huh? Okay. Another, Lucy Grace Nelson, allegedly attempted to use Molotov cocktails to light Teslas on fire in Loveland, Colorado, and was later found with materials that could be used to make incendiary weapons. A third individual, Daniel Brendan Kurt Clark Pounder, Daniel Brendan Kurt Clark Pounder allegedly wrote profane messages against President Trump and lit Tesla charging stations on fire in Charleston, South Carolina. Each person could face up to 20 years in prison. And good. I mean, I say excellent. Good. Go after these people. You have to. There's no place in this country for political violence. Period. There just isn't. We can't. The Republic cannot endure if we allow that to occur. So that has to happen. All right. Coming up, Tom Homan says the deportations will continue and that they are making enormous progress in getting rid of bad people, getting them off our streets. Plus, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Going after food dyes. I'm glad. I'm happy. MAHA, baby. MAHA matters. It matters big time. And I'm glad that we're doing a little Make America Healthy Again. That's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. What are you waiting for? VeneriaDental.com. 2 locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. VeneriaDental.com. Tomorrow's our big Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. More to come in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
In other news, on this very impactful, extraordinary day today, the president basically ending the Department of Education. Great news. There's other things to talk about. And tomorrow, of course, will be our big Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon and my triumphant return one day only to Morning Drive. That's right. I'll be on the air tomorrow morning at around 7:45-ish and going all the way up until 7 p.m. with a couple breaks here and there. But it's going to be a great day. Everybody's been working hard to pull this off. You're going to be entertained. And we'll have some great incentives and some really wonderful guests, too. So make sure you tune in all day tomorrow, starting, of course, at 6 a.m. When I'm told, I don't know, I don't get up that early, but I'm told that Kale and Company starts at 6 a.m. So, yeah, it'll be a fun day, be a lot of fun. But there's other things going on. And Tom Homan says, you know, we're not backing down, okay? We're not backing down. These deportations are going to continue. We're going forward with this. And this is good. What they've managed to achieve here with securing the border of the United States of America, it's great. It's fantastic. It's what had to happen. It's what the president promised would happen. And good. I'm glad.
In 4 weeks, we arrested more criminal aliens in the interior of the United States than Joe Biden did in a year, first of all. Second of all, the border numbers right now are down 96%. 96% decline in 6 weeks. We did in 6 weeks what Joe Biden refused to do in 4 years. And what we needed, as the president articulated during his speech, all we needed was a new president who took border security seriously, and that's what we have in President Trump. 96% decline on border crossing. But here's the most important part, what I think is the most important part, gotaways. Under Joe Biden, we got 2.2 million people crossed the border, weren't apprehended, weren't fingerprinted, weren't vetted. 2.2 million people came into this country, and we got them on video, drone traffic, sensor traffic. They weren't apprehended because Border Patrol is too busy changing diapers, making baby formula, taking care of the humanitarian crisis of people coming across that border by the millions. 2.2 million people cross the border. We don't know who they are, where they came from, why they're here.
Insane. It's insane, right? It really is. It's nuts to think about that. And the other thing I would point out to you with regards to that is that the border chief, Michael Banks, says, we're not going to give 10 yards on every play. We're going to keep fighting this.
The resources DOD is bringing in is helping us with the detection and then leading us to the location where the gotaways are trying or the people are trying to get away for the apprehension. We're not going to give up 10 yards on every play so that the bodies can get north. And so Border Patrol's focus is to control the international boundary to ensure no one's coming into the country. And those that do make it are apprehended and given a consequence.
Good. That's the way it should be. We have to secure our border. This is just common sense. It's really not that complicated. It's common sense. You have a border, you secure the border. That's what you do. You secure the border. That's what you do. It's not that hard, okay? ICE Boston arrests an illegal Haitian national charged with assault and sex crimes against a Massachusetts resident. ICE Boston arrests a Honduran illegal alien charged with sex crimes, assault and battery, and armed robbery. And I know that these judges are going to keep trying to stop this, but these judges are nuts. And like I said to you before, they cannot stop the president of the United States of America from doing his job as commander in chief to secure our southern border and northern border and all the borders, because that's the president's job. It's a national security imperative. I'm sorry, but it is. It's a national security imperative, and to prove that point, the Alien Act of 1798 proves that point, which is to say the president has the power given to him by Congress under the law to kick people out of this country if they are deemed a threat to the United States of America, working on behalf of either hostile governments or hostile nations, whether we're in a declared war with them or not. The president has that power. It's a 1798 law. If they don't like it, they can undo the law. If the Supreme Court wants to try to find it unconstitutional, they need five judges, justices to go for it. So one federal district judge cannot do that. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Here's Caroline Leavitt, whatever it is.
We are 100% confident that we've complied. And as I said from the podium and will continue to say, all of the flights that were subject to the written order of the judge took off before the written order was pushed in the courtroom. And the president is well within his article or his Article 2 power and his authority under the Alien Enemies Act to make these decisions. And we think it's egregious that a single district judge is trying to tell the president of the United States who he can and cannot deport from our soil, especially when it comes to designated foreign terrorists.
Yeah, I mean, it's and to people who are saying the president should ignore these judges, I give the president credit, because what he's going to win, ultimately he's going to win. But what he's doing here is he is ensuring the rule of law, the Constitution prevails. And in the end, the judiciary is going to be reined in as a consequence of this versus him looking like he's trying to be a tyrant and ignore these court orders. It's really smart long-term political strategy is what he's doing. Remember, we're only in March here. It's just March. It's March. So we are not even on the 30-yard line of fighting all these things out. And I see what his point is. I understand his point. I get it. And I'd say trust his strategy here of going through the process of the courts. I know a lot of people are frustrated by this, but what he's looking to do, I think, is smart. He's thinking long term on this, and he's thinking in terms of how do we ensure that when I'm gone, we don't have presidents who just simply ignore the courts and just turn around and go, I'll do whatever I want. He's thinking long term about America and the Constitution, and I respect that. I really do. I respect that. Maybe that'll change at some point, but it's March. Let's give it a little bit of time here and let's let this play out. I think what you're going to see in the end is you're going to see the judiciary reined in a way that needs to be reined in. And this is what's going to happen, in my opinion. All right. That's how I see this. It's what I think is going to happen. Secretary Kennedy wants to get dyes out of foods. I've told you many, many times the MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again. driven by moms, driven by dads, is that the key, it was a big reason why President Trump won. I talk to these, excuse me, I talk to these parents all the time, the crap is in our kids' foods. And as parents, you try to make healthy choices for your kids all the time, but we are, it's such an uphill battle. It's such an uphill battle. Even with things like freaking Girl Scout cookies, it's an uphill battle. And these dyes, my daughter Reagan, you know, we do our Cooking with Reagan videos on Instagram, which I think I'm just going to convert fully to just Cooking with Reagan and not do any more political posts on Instagram. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I got to figure out the whole social media strategy. It keeps changing every five freaking minutes. But all I know is that whenever we cook at home, everything's great. Everybody feels good the next day. Everybody's happy. You send the kids off with processed food. You try to do your best to limit the amount of processing in the foods. And then you find out something like, well, Dad, we got candy at school today. Or Dad, Claire's telling me this day. She says, Dad, we got to buy these special cupcakes. And then Patrick goes, yeah, they do it. They have a donut day at school. I'm not against those things for kids. It's just, it needs to be a special occasion. And there's no reason why we can't make donuts healthy and we can't make cupcakes healthy. You know, we make our cupcakes at home. We use a sourdough starter. Everything is made properly. And then the kids are fine. The crap you give Reagan, my daughter, who's already on the terror watch list, red dye number 5 or yellow number 7 or whatever it is, she's off the freaking walls. And I get it. There's probably a reason for that. You look at all these rates of ADHD. I'm not suggesting that ADHD is not real. I have it. Wait, what are we talking about? Exactly. What I'm saying, though, is that there's obviously things that agitate it, like anything else in life. And I think a lot of the crap in our food agitates it with kids. And so maybe the answer is not just simply to medicate them. Maybe the answer is maybe clean up the food supply, that their food is the engine that drives the vehicle that is you. And food is the medicine. Let medicine be my food and food be my medicine. It's an old saying. So let's make it healthy. It just makes sense. I'm trying. I'm doing better. I mean, I'm doing better than ever in terms of my diet. I have to. As I mentioned to you earlier today on the show, I got the cast off. I'm in a boot, but I still cannot walk for 4 more weeks. I have to be non-weight bearing, which means tomorrow I'll be scooting all around PHT in my scooter. It's like I scoot around the house. I fell off the scooter again last night. It's a pain in the neck. And quite frankly, I'm so at the end of my rope with this, but hopefully 4 more weeks in sight. But, you know, it's frustrating. It really is. It's frustrating. And I am trying very hard to not get fat during all this since I can't exercise. And you have to make good choices. But the problem is, for a lot of people, making good choices is very expensive. And that's the other issue, too, is we need to level the playing field here so that not just the elites are able to buy healthy organic food. And getting crap out of the food supply is a big part of this. So here's what Kennedy said earlier.
We told them that we wanted the dyes out of the food. The science on the dyes is so overwhelming. They're making products now in this country that have the dyes in them, like Fruit Loops, for example. And you buy the same product in Canada and it doesn't have the dyes. You buy the same product in Europe and it doesn't have the dyes. So there are a lot of ingredients. And one of the things that we're doing is we've launched a review of the GRAS standards, and we're going to get rid of the GRAS standards for most products. The GRAS standards is a standard that was adopted in 1958. It was adopted because when FDA was created to regulate food, there were foods that were generally recognized as safe, GRAS, generally recognized as safe, like flour, like dairy, like eggs. And they didn't want to make companies test those products, so they created that designation. That designation was expanded by an industry that began taking advantage of it, so that any new chemical that they want to add to our food is generally recognized as safe and gets no review. That's why we have 10,000 ingredients in our food in this country. In Europe, they only have 400. And we have the worst chronic disease burden of any country in the world. So,
yeah, and that's true. I mean, I go to Europe. I don't go to Europe. I'm not. But when I've gone to Europe, I told you, Italy, eat pasta every freaking day over there. And people aren't getting fat and they don't feel like crap and they feel good. So, yeah, clean it up. I know that people will say this stuff is safe. It may be technically safe. Like, it's not going to, you're not going to eat red number 5 and kill you. I'm not doubting that it's safe for you, but I think there's a difference between being safe for you and being good for you. There's a difference. I could eat something full of red dye number 5 and number 7 and high fructose corn syrup. I'm not going to die like right away. That doesn't mean it's good for me. It doesn't mean it has short-term consequences. You can debate the long-term consequences. I think we can all agree that eating that stuff on a regular basis would lead to lots of chronic disease. But just hell, even in the short term, when you eat unhealthy, don't you feel worse? I do. I really do. I try to not eat before the show because I can't. That's just me. Every person performs differently. But I know that whether or not something is technically safe, as in red dye number 5 won't kill you, red dye number 5 may have consequences in terms of making you tired, making you lose focus, may disrupt your sleep and your blood, all kinds of other things that may occur. And it may be that it's not just red dye number 5 alone. It may be red dye number 5 and all the other stuff that goes in the food too. But isn't it crazy we haven't looked into this sooner? We've just taken the FDA's word for it and just went like, great, okay, they say it's safe, okay. We have to realize that experts are human beings and experts are wrong and experts disagree with other experts. And I'm putting experts in air quotes, which of course you can't see right now because I'm not on video, but I'm using air quotes. So just trust me on this.
We are going to get rid of the GRAS standards for new products. We're going to go back and review all of these old ingredients to make sure that they are safe. And we're going to encourage these companies to get rid of them as quickly as possible.
Good. Great. Encourage these companies to get rid of them as quickly as possible. Did you catch that last part? That's why I wanted to play that for you. That's key. We're not looking to go in here and tell these companies what to do and start banning things. What we're looking to do here is we're looking to motivate them, get them, and most importantly is to let everybody understand the consequences of things and make their own decisions. Because that's empowerment, empowering people to understand and make choices. I'm all for that. I don't believe in bans. I'm not an abolitionist. That's not the right word. I'm not a prohibitionist. I am an abolitionist. Oh, wait, don't let that go viral. No, I am an abolitionist. I always have been against slavery, just for the record. I need to clarify that. I have always been. I am now and always have been against slavery. God. Been a long day. Been a long show. Oh man. Look at that headline. Conservative host says he's not an abolitionist. Great. That'll be helpful for the resume. That'll be really, really helpful. No, just for the record, I would have been on team abolition back in the day because I'm a Republican. You know, we were the party of the abolitionists. You know, we were the ones against slavery. Just for the historical record, I'm just saying, you know. I've told you before, there's an unbroken line of progressive kookery from the Confederate States of America to Woodrow Wilson to Roosevelt to LBJ to Barack Obama to Mushbrain, the last guy in the White House. And there's an unbroken line of conservative ideology within the Republican Party, called by different names, of course, since the abolitionist movement. It was always about pro-gun, pro-individual liberty, pro-freedom, restraining the federal government, all those things. So, you know. No, I'm definitely team abolition. Now I feel like I got to make Zioli Army. We're abolitionists. We always have been. But I'm not a prohibitionist. I don't believe prohibition works. I think prohibition is stupid. I think that the record, the historical record on that teaches us that it doesn't work, prohibition. So the best thing to do is to educate people and motivate these companies to make better choices for all of us as consumers. And then ultimately it's on us as consumers to make those choices. And then I think that's how it works. And that's how everybody wins from my perspective. And you know what I also love too? I love when people start businesses, and I love stories of people that start a business and have a passion about something. So as you know, I'm very passionate about adoption. I'm very passionate about being a parent. And coming up, I have a guest who started a diaper company, but it's got a twist, and I'm going to share that with you because I love that this is happening in America right now. Businesses are starting and people are being motivated by their philosophy and feeling and then finding a consumer base that's there to support that. like the Zeoli Army supports our wonderful sponsors and advertisers because you get it. You understand how important that is. It matters. It really does. It matters. This, by the way, is the top story of the day today, brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com. All right, more to come here in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away. All right, let's make more babies. It sounds like fun, right? I mean, it sounds like a fun idea. Make more babies. I mean, why not? Sarah Gable Seaford is president and co-founder of Every Life, a pro-life diaper company, and she joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Sarah, what makes a diaper pro-life, by the way?
Well, it's unbelievable to tell you that every major diaper company on the market today is supporting abortion, either vocally or financially. When I discovered this as a brand new mom, I was horrified. I was distraught, and I felt obligated to create the solution. And that's why about 20 months ago, we launched Every Life, which is the first and only pro-life diaper company on the market today, providing premium products. And we're the fastest growing diaper company in America today. And it's been unbelievable to see what we've been able to accomplish in just a short amount of time. And I feel like we're just getting started.
Good for you. That's great. So your mom, you have another one on the way, and you start a business. And I mean, that's like the American dream right there. Just start your own business. You see a problem, you find a solution. I got to be honest with you. I had never looked into the political philosophy behind the diaper companies. Right? I just went in there, you just buy diapers. You just don't think about this stuff. So what made you realize, hey, all these companies are supporting literally the opposite of what the diapers are used for, which is babies?
Yeah, well, my husband and I are very passionate about making sure that we're putting our dollars toward companies that align with our core convictions. I think that shopping your values is actually a great way to vote every single day. And there's power in your spend. And so we spent a lot of time digging in to making sure that even in the baby industry, when we were so excited about our new arrival coming, we could know confidently that each of the businesses that we were supporting supported her own life. And so by doing a very small amount of research, it didn't take time for me to learn that, again, Huggies, Pampers, Coterie, Hello Bello, all the major diaper companies are very vocal in their stance towards abortion. Many of them, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, on their social media were lamenting over the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned. Many of them match employee contributions to Planned Parenthood, paying for their employees to go travel and get abortions. It makes absolutely no sense. It's a horrible business model, but also it's morally wrong. We should be putting our money toward companies that stand for life, that stand for parents, and we should be supporting companies that believe in the family unit, because we know that strong families build a strong nation, and that's exactly what we're doing at Every Life.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of boycotts, but I love boycotts. I love putting our dollars towards something very positive. All right, so then your diapers. So first of all, how do you make a diaper? I mean, I can understand the philosophy behind making a diaper, but how do you go about making one?
Well, it's all about finding the right partnerships. And I think that it's really important, especially for a company that's very outwardly focused on standing for life and our values. We're very open that we believe every child is a gift from God, deserving of love, protection, and celebration. While at the same time, we did not want to compromise on the quality of our product. So we found the perfect manufacturer that was values aligned, that supported our mission. And we worked with them on crafting a diaper that had clean ingredients, that was non-toxic, that was safe for sensitive skin, hyperallergenic, that would perform, that would have that 12-hour leak protection that every parent longed for, so the baby can be sleeping better, so mom can be sleeping better. And I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from parents saying that, man, I was in this other brand and had diaper rash and all these issues, and then I switched to Every Life and my baby's never been happier, more comfortable. And I can testify for it for myself. It is the best product I've ever put on my child. And so I cannot say enough amazing things about our product. And we worked really hard to make sure that our customers were really going to be happy about where their money was going, but also very pleased with the performance of our products.
Yeah, no, look, every parent listening right now, every grandparent agrees, there's nothing worse than a leaky diaper in the middle of the night when you're finally getting sleep and then the baby's waking up crying because the diaper's leaking or whatever it is. I mean, it's a nightmare. So that's really crucial, the quality. All right. Then the next question I have for you is, are we stopping at diapers or are there more products to come?
So we started with diapers and wipes. We actually last quarter at the end of 2024, we added on soaps and lotions. So we have an entire bath and body line. They're all clean ingredients, natural, organic, incredible products that I'm using every day also, and can say that they're the best soap and lotion I've ever put on my child. And then in addition to that, we just launched a training pant or a pull-up for our toddlers. So that way we're not only serving the younger babies, but we're able to serve families that allow them to still support their baby in the years where they're getting into running around the house and learning about potty training, and the pull-up can be such an incredible support during that time. So we have that product, and there's going to be lots more to come. So we feel like we're really working to create not just a diapers and wipes company, but a baby brand that parents can trust and can know with the blessed assurance that every single time they put their money towards Every Life, it's going to support their own child and many others. We've already had the opportunity to donate over 4 million diapers to families who have embraced life for their babies. Those are going to pregnancy resource centers across the United States. I don't know any other diaper company that can say the same. And so we're going to keep giving back. We're going to keep putting our money where our mouth is. And we're going to keep propping up the family unit because we know that is so crucial right now.
I think it's great. And look, these pregnancy resource centers are vital. As I mentioned to you earlier, two of my children came to us through adoption. And so that's really important. And a lot of these young moms who are pregnant would probably choose adoption if they were not feeling overwhelmed by all of the resources and everything else that they have to deal with. And of course, obviously, you've got a giant, you know, abortion industry out there that makes them believe that they can't do it. They can't meet the challenge. And then you have a lot of moms who want to parent that child, but they need help. And so they don't choose abortion. They will choose life. And I think that giving those resources to pregnancy resource centers matters. It also matters, too, the Trump administration has decided that they're not going to target these pregnancy resource centers like the previous administration did. But certainly we can talk about that on another show. Let me ask you, Sarah, if I could, about the MAHA movement, the Make America Healthy Again movement, and how that fits into babies. Yesterday, Robert F. Kennedy, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, came out and said, we got to make baby formula healthy again. And that matters to me because, you know, when you adopt a child, you have to do formula. And that's just the reality of life. And there's a lot of garbage out there. Do you see yourself getting into baby food, baby products, formula, anything like that?
I would say nothing is off the table. If it's an essential item that's going to support the parent and the baby, we're going to look at all categories. And that's what's so exciting about being in the startup phase and really learning what our customers want and desire and listening and being open. One of the things that I hold fast to is I'm always going to hold quick to our mission. I'm never going to compromise on what we stand for, but I'm actually going to hold very loosely to how we get there. Because I think if our hands stay open and we let the doors that need to fly open, we walk through them, there's so many opportunities. And so, Rick, I will tell you that we're so excited about being able to be so much more than just a diapers and wipe company. That isn't off the table. It's needed, to your point. I mean, the formulations that are inside of these baby formulas, it's really harmful, and it's not good for baby. And so it's so important that we're giving the young children the nutrients and the supplies that they need to set them up, because they're our future generation. We have to make sure that at a very young age, we're pouring into them in every facet. So we're really excited to explore every avenue.
And Sarah, where can people find your products and learn more about it?
Yeah. So if you go to everylife.com, you can learn all about Every Life. And we are doing an incredible prayer campaign right now that I'd love to just quickly mention. If you go to everylife.com/pray, you could actually submit a prayer request. If you're believing and longing for a child in 2025, we want to pray for you. We have an incredible prayer team that we formulated: Charlie Kirk, Erica Kirk, Lila Rose, her husband Joe, Ali B. Stuckey, and many others that are coming alongside these families, because we know that the fertility issue is a problem. We are seeing infertility at rates that we've never seen. 1 in 6 families are actually struggling with conceiving, and we want to be able to come alongside them in a beautiful way. So sign up. We want to pray for you through April 11th. And I believe that the solution is prayer. And so we're really excited to press in there and be available in that way too for so many families.
Well, I'll ask you this request. Maybe you could say a prayer for moms to choose adoption, and for parents to also consider choosing adoption as well, because it is a wonderful gift. Change our lives. And, you know, 2 of our 3 children wouldn't be here without it. So I think some of these birth moms who make that choice And then parents who choose that, it's a wonderful thing. It really is. So maybe throw a prayer that way too, if you would, for me.
Absolutely. And we do in this prayer campaign that we're launching right now, if someone's trying to go through a successful adoption, we want to pray for that too. Because sometimes, Rich, you've gone through that before. I don't know what your journey was like, but I know that there's so many families where that can be really challenging. Yeah. It can take years and years and years. And so we want to encourage them, support them in prayer in that process too. So absolutely, we'd be honored. And we're so thankful for the families. We've already had over 3,300 families sign up, and we just launched this last week. We're in 30 countries. Wow. So it's turning into a global movement. And again, it's just amazing to see what God is doing.
Well, that's great, Sarah. Listen, best of luck to you. Come back and see us again. Keep us updated on every life and in your company. I have no doubts it's going to be a huge success. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.